podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the... Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the...
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello. So, the international snooze brace trundles on, I suppose it's fair to say. And instead of just sitting on our laurels, resting around, we decided to, well, I don't know if we decided, you decided, someone decided to get people around the table. And Nick is here in virtual form, I'm here in real form, and we are joining Planet FPL. Incredible.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
My name is James.
Hiya, and I'm Nick. Just to say who we are Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter at WGTA _FPL or at WGTA _Nick. And you can find James and Serge at Planet FPL Pods online. So make sure to follow those guys if you're a Who Got the Assist listener, and to all the Planet FPL regular listeners. Hi, guys. If you don't listen to us, make sure to follow us too.
Yeah. Follow, subscribe, like, send money, and all of that other
stuff. Should we just cut it and end it?
Yeah, we don't want the money, though.
It's not going to get any better than that.
Nah, exactly that. So we talked about this in the summer. We finally made it happen. Sitting around a table talking about FPL, we asked the community for some questions and stuff to talk about. Where to start? I'll tell you where to start, right? I was having lunch with my missus before we came out to record. She's like, oh, what are you doing with this pod? She doesn't know shit about FPL, right? She doesn't know nothing. Oops, shouldn't swear.
She doesn't swear.
Anyway, so I started singing your theme tune to her. So, oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist? Her question back to me, she looked me dead straight in the face. What's assist? So my question to you, Tom, is what is assist? Because she wants to know what assist is.
It's what differentiates a pussy from a pussy.
Ah, there we go.
And that's my answer to what assist
is. An assist, not assist, woman. She's a bit lost on it all.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those words, isn't it? One of those phrases, who got the assist, that's very FPL specific. Because I don't think your average football fan, maybe more nowadays, but back in the day, I think whenever you were watching the game and someone scored, if you're an FPL player, you'd be like, who got the assist? Because that is also your points, right? Yeah. And most people just don't care.
I've always thought, probably for the last 4 months, that you should just rename your pod Kevin De Bruyne. Pretty much the answer to the question, right? 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, song about Kevin De Bruyne. I'm not sure about that. Nick's wife actually does the voice on that one.
VO, voiceover artist, Nick, is it?
Yeah, that's my wife. She's come into a bit of popularity on Twitter before. A few people said some very strange comments in regards to my wife's voice and how it makes them feel in certain never regions, which...
Yeah, I've never had the same... people that listen for a while will know James does a good impression of his own wife's voice, and I don't know if that has ever done anything to anyone's never regions. James's impression, that it's not his wife's
Planet
voice.
Planet FPL wifey, she's not even done anything to my never region.
And it's descended into nether regions and farce. We've got pussy, pussy, and nether regions.
I really thought we weren't going to swear on this podcast. That's what we agreed.
No, we're not.
Before we started recording,
any swear words
I said
yet.
To Tom, how much can we swear? And he said, you can't.
No, we haven't sworn. It's just...
You did. You said the S words.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's,
you absolute shit house.
It's not so bad.
It's all over.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
We put it out to the Twitterverse to ask questions for each other. I think yesterday was a little bit of baiting for questions. You asking what to ask us asking what to ask you. There were a few good ones, a few not so good ones, but we'll start with a few good ones. I think there was one on ours. Did you see, James? To ask Tom and Nick, how does it feel to be running the second best FPL podcast that's out there or something along those lines? I thought that was a good one.
Presume after FPL surgery.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. but there are a few others as well. Did anyone come up with anything good?
Can't remember, to be honest. I haven't got my phone because of the tech issues, so I can't look. I know.
James, it has to be master in charge of Twitter. Nick, you could be master in charge of Twitter as well for the audience questions.
Let me get some cues up then while we do that.
Yes. Did either of you boys watch the England game yesterday?
No. We have to.
I watched about 5 minutes of it and switched it off. I just thought, you know what? It's absolutely terrible. To be fair, it's our first loss in 10 years, but just like the standard. And the defence just looks absolutely awful at the moment as well. I don't know what we're doing with Trippier and Rose still on the fullback positions, and why we're not playing Trent Alexander-Arnold, to be honest.
But they're not first choice, right? Trippier and Rose are not. Well, Rose, even Rose, they're not first choice. It's a rotated back line. Whenever I see a team that's got changes like that and it's not a first choice and you lose a game, you just think sod it.
We should probably clarify we're recording this on Saturday, and by the time this probably goes out on Tuesday and England have played on Monday with Chilwell and Alexander-Arnold, it might look a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, if we win 4-0 on Monday, which we will, which we should, hopefully, then no one's going to give a monkeys about yesterday's game, to be fair.
Should we do some of the questions from the community?
Yeah, go I reckon on. We should.
Do you want this, Suj?
Well, we did a Q&A special a couple of days
ago.
Yeah,
and we learned that I can't read.
James tried to read the question and we realised that he can't read. So, yeah, let's do it. So, these are the questions that were coming for you guys. Nick, are you ready? Tom, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's it. It's FPL Belgian FPL. Are there things you learn from each other's podcast that you now incorporate into your own?
No.
James is probably the most stubborn, single-minded FPL player I think I know.
Like,
you don't listen to anyone or anything.
No, I am stubborn.
I think you take your
like
own
that.
Opinion.
Yeah.
You don't care.
My opinion is often wrong, by the way. I think Tom and Nick have had an identity probably right from the start with the way you've kind of attacked things from your background of your work experience and your stats-based knowledge. Whereas I think for me and Suj probably took a lot longer to find what we wanted to do with the podcast. We tried a few different things. We tried some stat-heavy ones. It just wasn't really us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in terms of taking from, I mean, we'll probably do what you guys do in terms of if we hear something on your pod, for example, or one of the others, we'll generally like shout out and say, like I mentioned a few things you were discussing with Alex on your pod last week about the issues with most people missing captaincy choices at the moment. But otherwise, I think we've got very good styles.
Yeah.
I think it's part of why we get on as well. Like.
I don't think you can... it's replicable. I use your pod to justify my decisions. Like, I'll make a gut-based decision, then you've got stats on it that will be like, okay, fine, now I know that my decision is all right. Having said that, on the last show, you were bigging up Wilson and you were bigging up Madison, so you put the mockers on two of my players that I bought into my team. So when they do badly, it's your fault now.
Yeah, well, that's how the community's gone, really. You start blaming people who run podcasts for all your own mistakes. So I guess
what have you copied of us apart from obviously not swearing?
No, I think
you can pick that up off us.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think copy is not really quite the right word. I think in some ways, like, for me, I always want to be original, and I think it's probably the same for Nick as well. But a lot of the time, you can like watch stuff, you listen to stuff that you enjoy, you appreciate, you respect the way it's done. But in the same way, you've got to be you. And as James said a minute ago, if that's completely right. Like, if we decided to start like being like our dynamic is our dynamic, and if we decided to start trying to ape your dynamic and you two get on, it would be completely disingenuous. Like, it wouldn't be. People would smell a rat immediately and think they're putting that banter on. They're trying
to
make
it. Do you
it
two
up.
Not get on?
No, we hate each other. We literally can't be in the same room. As you can see
the,
here.
Recordings, yeah.
Yeah, no, we've got
we
a very.
We've
got quite a niche sort of sense of humour, I guess, in some ways, some people don't get it. Like, it's dry and it's really kind of like witty and pun based, and a lot of people just don't like that, which is fair enough. I don't care.
There's probably a tip out of that in terms of we see a lot of people say, "Oh, I'm starting a new podcast. I'm starting this," and the first thing that tends to get tweeted on Twitter is, or what do you want us to talk about? And I always say to people, don't do what, you know, people have got to like you first.
Oh,
do
yeah.
what's good for you and what works for you. If people are trying to be like yourself and Nick, for example, then it's not going to come off too well because it's just going to look like a copycat thing. Probably the same
exactly.
If people just want to swear while talking about FPL, it's probably just going to sound like me and Suj. So the advice is like, be yourself if you're doing it. It's a challenging thing to start up.
I think the one thing I would say is that from you guys especially, and always choosing to do this as well, is you guys have got a very good way of when you do digress and talk about things, you're good at kind of keeping that flow going a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas I think at the start, like, we've been going for 3 years now. I think in the first year, I was very keen to keep everything on track. Everything was kind of like, right, hang on, we've got to stop talking about this because I want to get on to the next point. Whereas now I think kind of listening to you guys and how you can actually find a lot of interest in gems at the end of that sort of tunnel. Like, I've loosened up the edit a little bit and tried to keep things kind of a bit more sort of conversational, as it were, because I think there are times, especially as I said in the first couple of years, where we'd be like lecturing almost to each other. just here's my points, here's my notes, I'm going to say them to you, Tom. And I'd be like, that's great, Nick. Here's what I've said, and I'm not commenting on what Nick said. I've literally just got in mind, I want to say
following
my
the
bit.
Script.
So it was
that's
scripted,
it.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing I was going to say. So basically, for those that are watching on YouTube or no, sadly, Nick couldn't be physically in the room with us. I was going to say, Nick, is it because you wanted to hide your script under the table so that no one would know that you're reading off one?
Exactly. So I couldn't do it just in front
bonkers,
of you guys. You see
it?
Me just there with my piles of notes, just reading through the auto cue. So, yeah, obviously, you guys have your own sort of like dynamic, free flowing sort of conversations. I think our pods has received criticism for being a little bit scripted in terms of we've got our plan, we've got our features that we're kind of just whistling through. So that's probably something we maybe can learn from your pod going forward.
I think
and try and keep, you know, build it up a little bit, make it a little bit more conversational, maybe. I don't know.
We've got no plan. That's probably why it comes off like yours is sometimes.
Yeah.
We just press record and go generally, whereas you guys obviously put a phenomenal amount of research and time into yours. If me and Susan need to find a stat, we just generally look on our phone mid-pod, I think.
Yeah, now with the desk set up that we've got,
so
I've got
in terms of
in front of me, so
what,
I can ping
what
things
could
up,
we improve would be our structure in terms of actually planning, maybe having a script.
Yeah, we say that, but you know, like, Tom, you've been on the FPL show, I did the FYI show. One thing I don't like is, like, that's a short format. So you get like a minute to make a point and you're on to the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And we talk, and we can talk for as long as we want about one topic if we want to. We'll talk about Rebecca Vardy if we want to for like half an hour. Maybe not, that's a bad example. Whereas something like that, when you've got an agenda or a script to get through, it's like, you got a minute, make your point, on to the next thing, on to the next thing. I don't find that comfortable because it's not a free flow.
I don't like that.
Chat.
I mean, what I normally do, and I can like, for everyone to see it, I can always put it up. Like, I send round to Nick, and basically any guest we have on, I'll write like a discussion guide. So in my work, when I'm speaking to people, I do a lot of interviews with, you know, clients, with traders, whatever. I'll have a set list of what I'm going to talk about. That's obvious, right? And on each podcast, the same. Okay, we're going to talk about this. And it's literally just like, all right, we're going to talk about premium fours this week. Who are the top options? That'll be a question. What do you think about this guy, the new guy into the list? And what do you see? How do you see it moving forward? That's literally all we give to each other, and that's literally, I don't see Nick's notes, he doesn't see mine, and then we'll, I don't know, have a little list of stats that we want to say or things that we found for doing the research, and then it kind of just see how it folds out organically, I suppose. And I think we have gotten a lot better at doing that in a way which isn't so much as I said earlier reading off that list of stats. It's more about, right, here's like kind
talking
of
points.
The point, you know. And then we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I mean, for work, we both do it, we both have to think about, right, what am I going to say in this meeting, what am I going to say when I do this presentation, how am I going to do it, how am I going to articulate that? And because we both do that for work, I can see why that can come off as being a little bit kind of like scripted.
We're both salesmen, so we're blaggers, so that's how we get away. Yes. We're just switching it on and blagging from the minute one. Nick, have you got a question there?
No, I was going to say, it's two opposite ends of the spectrum there, isn't it? So you guys have your more sort of blaggy sales types. Me and Tom, in our jobs, I have to whittle through data and prove things and prove that things have been progressed with numbers. And I kind of take that to the pod as well, say, look, try and make a point, and here's the evidence with the stats and the underlying data that relates to it. So that's probably the difference there. I've got some questions.
Go for it.
Go through them. Got a question from David Monday. He said, who got the planet? Anyone got an answer?
Who got the planet?
Who got the planet, indeed.
I tell you what, it's not me.
FPL Telling said, who would win in a drinking competition out of us four? Tom, Nick, Sigil, James. I think
okay,
Aaron
Boyle
already
out.
Said that I would, apparently.
I'm out. It's not me, I can tell you that.
I think
like, 3 pints and I'm done.
I think it would be between the white boys here. just because we've got the Asian disadvantage here, Sigil, I think. We'd probably end up having 3 or 4,
DNA
and they'll be like, right, I'm done.
We don't have the enzymes.
I've got to go and have some lactase. So I think it'd be you and Nick,
James. It's James all the way.
No, I'm not
for
sure
me,
it is.
James.
Nick, have you calmed your drinking down since baby arrived? Because it has for me.
Yeah, definitely. I used to be out all the time, to be honest. And like now I haven't drunk in a while. So I'm a bit of a lightweight compared to what I used to be. So
how old's Moses? Remind me.
18 months old.
Oh, it's a bit older than Harry. There you go.
Yeah, I'd fancy myself, actually.
Yeah,
I get pissed quick, but I'll be the last one out the pub.
But you're steady. Slow and steady wins the race.
That's
with
me.
James. There you go. Yeah, I know it's not me. I can't handle it anymore. I'm gonna call old age is getting to me. The older I get, the harder it is.
Your body just can't do what it
used
to, right?
Not at all.
Remember when we like used to just be incredibly hungover, or think get incredibly drunk, and the next day you just shake it off, you walk off the hangover and go out again. Whereas now we've both hit 30, I think it's definitely slowed down a lot, right? Yeah. I have one big night out, like a month basically, and that finishes me off because like if I bet in the second week, the next 2 weeks are just lying around, just being like, oh
yeah,
my
forget
God,
about
what
did
I do to myself? Nice. So yeah, it definitely happens a fair bit. I don't know. We do have a drink every now and again when we're doing the pod, but not... Yeah, it's very hard to do a podcast half cut as well, I find. Like, I know I've done it a couple of times where I've gotten a bit over exuberant and gone, yeah, right, yeah, I've had three drinks, shit, that's too much. Four, five, oh crap.
We've never seen you get over exuberant before.
Nah, couldn't be. We had the question come in from Chris Tellers. And it's fair to ask you, go on, with so many eyes and ears, obviously, on your podcast, and he's aimed it at both podcasts as well, but how do you manage to cope with the attention from the community? And I think it's quite fair. Like, I don't know, Nick, how often you log into Twitter. I'm going to assume it's less than Tom.
I used to log into the WGTA_FPL Twitter all the time, just on my phone, just to look at the notifications. And basically, it was mostly just Tom talking throughout the working day, all day with various people. And I'd look, and there'd be hundreds of conversations and chat. And I was just like, this is unmanageable. I can't even keep up with what's going on this Twitter. It just lost complete
control.
It's the
same. I don't even touch the Planet FPL pod Twitter. That's just purely James.
You did a couple
James.
Of times, and I told you to stop.
That was a long time ago. It's just not worth it.
Or Tom will blame me for a tweet or something if it goes down badly. But that's why I kind of set up my own private one anyway, which is a lot quieter. And generally, just because I'm really busy with work and stuff at the moment, like I can't keep up with a lot of what's going on in the FPL community and the conversation.
How do you keep up with the attention? Do you get a lot of grief?
I have, but not. It's not that bad actually. Like I'm averaging one racist storm a year. So
one only.
At the moment, we're not there. I got one guy who was on the Fans Football Scout YouTube the other day saying, "I'm baffled. Tom isn't white right now. I'm
really?
Absolutely shocked." I thought that was hilarious. I was just
wicked.
Like, "Why does that matter?" Like, amazing. But yeah, on the main bit, I still find it really like genuinely. I think maybe if you get wrapped up in your own hype, that's when you start going wrong. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm still like. Genuinely, I'm not saying this. Like, I'm genuinely like really surprised. Someone says, "I listen to you. I listen to that pod. They remember stuff that I've said, or something like that." And like, I'm still a dude with a phone at the end of the day who's on the DLR, just tweeting whatever's in my head, or like I'm on a podcast in my bedroom, just saying something. It's amazing to me that thousands of people do listen to that. I think that's great. Like, I don't really see, and I know when you put yourself out there, like, there's always the element of like, yeah, people then can start having a pop at you, which I do take. Like, I can take it, but at the same time, like, if it gets nasty or whatever, I just mute people now. Like, I just mute mercilessly. Just like, I just can't be fucked still with it. Like, it's my Twitter, it's my feed, yeah. And I'm just like, well, if someone's a bit of a dick, then I don't want to hear from them ever again.
Just
like,
mute them.
That's the way I do it. Like,
I haven't had that much, but obviously, I log in maybe twice a week if I can be bothered. Sometimes a little bit more, and I'll dive in for half an hour, and then I'm out again.
Yeah.
And just whatever's happening is happening. What I do find a bit weird is like if I haven't logged in for 3 or 4 days and someone's tagged me in something, it could even be James has tagged me in something, there's a whole conversation about me going on in the world somewhere that I have no idea about. I find that a bit weird that, oh, okay, everyone's talked about something or
cussing
whatever.
You behind your back.
Yeah.
But not, because you've been LinkedIn,
really.
It's
in public, isn't it, on Twitter?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, but also, it's FPL at the end of the day. It's a guessing game. Like, honestly...
I think, like...
What are you worried about?
We put ourselves out there, so, you know, we put ourselves on the front line to be criticised. Like, if people don't like your work, they're entitled to say that. I think, like, what Tom's alluding to there are levels that are acceptable, it's banter, the criticism's fine. Like, if somebody wants to come to me and say, I didn't like this, or do you want to do it? All right, fine, we'll take that on board. I think some of the stuff that you allude to there, like, that's not on, that's just... Right, get out, mute. I don't block anyone, by the way. So if anybody is ever out there thinks, why does he never reply to me? You've been muted.
Oh,
yeah, I agree. I'm exactly the same.
That's it.
We've had people like message Nick in the past to ask where I am and why haven't I spoken to them.
Yeah.
It's because I've muted them, because they've said something which has pissed me off. And I know that sounds really harsh, but at the end of the day, like, you do get an idea, especially with like the following, I suppose. Like, you just get an idea of somebody pretty quickly in terms of how they interact with you. Like, I don't mute them straight away. I'll give them like a couple of times just to like make sure the first time they're trying to just a bit of banter hasn't quite worked out.
Yeah.
Give them like a couple of chances, but if they just seem like an absolute
the reality is probably for you guys as well as us, right? Because the way Chris has asked the question, how do you cope with the attention? 80 to 90% of the feedback and comments and interaction, if not more, is positive, not negative, right?
Absolutely.
And the way you deal with that is just actually confusion. Like, I'm still confused why you're listening and listening to, like, we're putting out 5-6 shows a week and people will listen to all of them. I'm like,
have you got a life?
Firstly, I don't know how we find the time to record them. I don't know how you find the time to listen to them and then tweet us and say that it's really good listening and thank you for all the hard work. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, like, we're recording in the pub and James has got an empty pint glass.
I'll
give him Manchild a beer. We had a question, Manchild, from somebody about you, which I'll ask when you come back, though. What are you drinking, boss? Manchild wants chicken wings as well.
I'll have an Amstel, please. Cheers.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm good for now. Just ask. See what. So Nick, how do you deal with the? How do you respond
how do you
to
deal
that
with
question?
The fans, Nick?
I should probably do. Or how all the ladies chasing you home down
Chelmsford
High Street.
Have you ever had underwear thrown at you?
It's hard to deal with getting spotted in a subway on a Cannon Street and stuff like that. Nah. To be honest, like, it's just following the Twitter and just seeing what's happening in chat with the community. It's nice to see. I think it's always quite exciting as well. One of our followers tweeted that he was listening to us on live speak on speaker in Singapore or somewhere, I can't remember what it was, and then someone walked past the room and said, who got the assist to him, and I thought that was just an amazing story of two people who both listened to us, like, you know, discovering each other in a foreign country. I thought that was really amazing to hear. But yeah, I'm genuinely blessed by, like, the amount of people that listen to us, because it's just me and Tom just talking about football, you know, just talking about numbers. That's all we're doing, really, just chatting away. And to have so many people listen is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. We had a question from Lee, FPL family, who we all know well. If you could meet, and I answered this on Twitter already, and James already given me evils. If you could meet and interview one footballer on your pod, who would it be and why? And I automatically straight away jumped in with "He who must not be named." I can't say, James won't say his name.
You can say it, because the Who Got the Assist listeners who don't know us won't know who that is.
The former Macclesfield Town manager who used to play for Spurs and defected to Arsenal. But who would you pick? Any ex or current player that you could have on the pod?
I think for me it would be Dennis Bergkamp. So Dennis Bergkamp's the man who got me into supporting Arsenal, basically. So I'm
really?
Dutch born. I was born in Holland.
Fair play.
And I think it was the 1998 World Cup, that goal against Argentina, long ball through, took it down through the legs, and then flicks over Roa, right? I was like, who's he play for? He plays for Arsenal. Oh, okay. Well, I'm probably
there you
Arsenal.
Go.
And I think I read this book as well, and I think just having those moments of magic in football is what encapsulated me in the first place. It's what got me into it. And he, for me, is like one of the earliest guy that kind of enthralled me in that way. And I just wanted to speak to him and speak to him about how he approached things. Like, what was going through his mind? Like, was there anything going through his mind when he was creating those little moments that made
instinct,
me love him?
Isn't it? When you play like that, you've got to be playing with instincts.
I read his book and I'd have a few questions about that. But yeah, I think just as a guy, he seems really nice too. I think it'd just be really interesting to hear about his approach to things and how he does
it. Fair play. What about you, Nick? What are you thinking? Anyone that you'd want to have on your show?
So it certainly wouldn't be Sol Campbell, I'll tell you that much. It'd probably be someone like, that's a bit of a boring pick, but probably someone like Cristiano Ronaldo. I'd just like to kind of get to understand the guy and how he's developed to be such a sort of like a cult player and still performing at such a high level at sort of his age, and just, you know, how he maintains that physique as well. Is he actually corruptible? Does he have a beer? I don't know. I think he'd be
he's
really
34
interesting.
Now, right? Same age as you, yeah. Take James.
Thanks.
I'm just thinking about his physique, you know what I mean?
I think physiques might be a bit different.
He's a machine, though, isn't he? Absolute machine. Yeah. Who would you have on, James? I know it's not...
No. I'll tell you who... Obviously, I dislike the North London side that's red. I'd actually be fascinated to have a chat with Wenger.
Yeah. Arsene Wenger?
Yeah, honestly. And see how kind of he changed things in the late 90s. And then why did it stop? To know the ins and outs in terms of what was his restrictions. Did he just get obsessed with, like, the Barcelona model and trying to move that way? I'd actually, to sit down with him would be fascinating, because he knows his football inside out.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting, though, now we're talking about these players that are like idols or players that you want, right? But there's a bunch of them that are proper into their FPL now as well. Like, PVA is obviously top of the list. Have you heard Micah Richards on 5 Live as well? That guy's an absolute machine on FPL. He knows all the prices of all the players.
Nice.
And positions and stuff. Like, the way that a lot of the players are so much more aware of FPL now as well, I think is really fascinating. it's just mainstream.
I think
now.
even Liverpool tweeted about your guy Nick Tanner, who's top of the official world rankings at the moment. Yeah. So even like Liverpool are not acknowledging it on their own Twitter base. I think it just shows the growth in the market for the game.
Didn't Sterling tweet? Sorry to.
Sorry, I can't score a hat trick every week.
After the Bournemouth game.
Well, he should have tweeted sorry after he didn't score a hat trick or whatever. Sorry, that was after the Bournemouth game. But
when he scored one, yeah.
Yeah, and he bloody scored a hat trick against West Ham.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. I think we're only going to see that improve. So if you look at the US, for example, I don't know if you guys have any experience watching. I don't really like American football, but I spend a lot of time in the US.
Yeah.
Like when American football is on and they've got their ludicrous number of pundits, there's like 12 of them. It's really bizarre. But there's always one person who's a fantasy person. Like,
really?
There's always somebody, like, literally, like, imagine this is Sky Sports, like, Monday Night Football. Someone there saying, oh, this is what it means for fantasy perspective. They'll have, like, the ticker coming up to say, this is what's going on with fantasy. This is what the impact of what's happened is.
But it's like esports, right? So esports is a big deal now. I was chatting to one of my mates who was like, I really want to build or invest in an esports bar. It's pissing down outside, right? Esports bar, because of the growth in like gaming, and you can, esports is as popular almost you could say as real sports.
Yep.
Fantasy is just another small part of esports in that way.
Sort of. It's not gaming per se. It's not gaming at all.
No.
I think the word game isn't really quite applied to fantasy, because gaming is literally you can affect the outcome through your skill. There is some skill in fantasy, of course, but you can affect the outcome through being better than everybody else with something that you can actively do. So I could outshoot someone in Call of Duty. But at the same time, with FPL, there's so many other facets involved. It's like a bit more like poker, I think, than an esports game, which I also do enjoy a lot.
There's a really good Trevor Noah YouTube video. I don't know if you guys follow much of Trevor Noah. I think he's one of the best comedians out there, where he's talking about when he landed in America, and he's obviously from South Africa, and he's looking at American sports. He's watching American sports channels, and he's like, your sports commentators are so obsessed with stats. It's like everything is like, this guy's run this many yards and he's got this many carries and he's dropped the ball this many times and he kicked the ball this much, and it's like 24% of this and 36% of that. So it does make sense over there that they're so stats focused and money ball and all that kind of stuff, right? We talked a long time ago about the best predictor, because this is a guessing game where you're looking at odds, fantasy football, right? Is surely the bookies. Surely we should be using bookies' odds to help us make fantasy football picks more, because the bookies don't lose money.
I think
they lost a few quid on the Wolves, Man City.
FPL Salah one?
FPL Salah, yeah, does that, yeah.
Who tweets out the regularly kind of clean sheet predictor odds and
goal scorer,
most likely a percentage to score at the weekend.
Does it help? Do you think it helps?
I think you can look into that thing, but the percentages are so minimal if you put up what's the likely odds of Kane and Aguero in a similar fixture to score at the weekend. It's going to be similar odds, isn't it? Fractionally as a percentage, it's so small in terms of how that would replicate on the odds. But it can be used. Of course it can. I think it's probably more useful for clean sheet percentages and stuff like that rather than actual goal scorers.
Scored.
That's just a personal opinion.
Yeah. I mean, so if you had the choice of XGXA... versus the bookies odds on
this just
goal
became
scorers.
Who got the assist rather than planning.
No, I just asked the question. I don't even XGXA. I don't even look at. But which would you prefer to use if you had to use one, bookies or XG? I asked it. I directed it at James. James is working a bookie, so if anyone knows, James knows.
So probably because of my background of working in that industry for a long time, I would be more influenced by that. I naturally look at prices for games and that kind of thing myself anyway in my own time. So I would be influenced that way. It's not a right and a wrong on it. I mean, what do you guys normally use, Tom, Nick?
What don't you use is probably a better question, because you've got access
to everything.
What
don't I use? I don't use
shots in the box, shots
I don't
not.
Use I feel he's a good player because I like him. I just think that's a terrible argument. I just completely
that's why
subjective,
we're doing badly.
Useless. What's the point? There's no basis in that. Like, part of the reason we started was because I was getting annoyed with a lot of podcasts that I used to listen to, and who were just like basically saying, "Oh, well, yeah, I like this guy. I'm captaining him because I just love him." Great. Where's the backing? Where's the basement? Where's the basin for that? What's that based on? It's based on nothing.
No.
So a lot of the time, I don't use things in isolation. So it's not.
It's gone a bit echoey, guys.
Sorry. Nick, have you got a question there? Before I
Sounds gone a bit funny my end.
No worries.
Yeah, we've had a... let's find some more questions. So we've had a question from Carl Coote, who's asked us, who finished the season highest, Spurs, Arsenal or the Hammers? That's a bit of a nasty question.
I think it's a low blow. It's a low blow. But yeah, it's Spurs. Let's just put it out there, it's Spurs.
It's not. Who's going to finish lowest?
No, who finished lowest last year?
Who's going to?
Oh, I don't think it's as black and white as it has been in previous seasons.
No, I think it's claret and blue.
Who's going to finish lowest?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it's as black and white as it has been in previous seasons.
Not.
I think Arsenal, Tottenham, West Ham, if I had to call it now, I'd say Arsenal, Tottenham, West Ham. In that order, top to bottom.
Tom?
Sounds about right to me. I wouldn't be surprised to see Spurs pull it out. I don't think Potts is going to go. I'm sure that Potts... I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, like Mourinho, Ferguson always said you can only have three years, I think it is, the optimum before things get very, very stale. And he used to rotate his assistant manager, didn't he, to try to keep things fresh, try to change things up. And I think Potts is dealing with that now a little bit, especially from listening to what you've been saying, James, as well, in Tottenham. And I think a lot of the time, like, he's going to have to fight through that fatigue and fight through just kind of the fact his message has been heard over and over again. I do think they're going to recover. I think it'll be close between Spurs and Arsenal. I'm not going to go into an Arsenal chat here, but I think that kind of, it'll be close. I think that we may just pull it out, but it depends what happens in January as well, whether you guys strengthen a little bit, something like that happens.
Forget about that. When's Levy spent money? He spent a little bit. He got a little bit in...
And Dombele,
spent a little bit in the summer, but he only Sessignon. Spent that money, as James has said, because he thought he was going to get the money on the other side from Ericsson.
He thought he might get 100 million in. As I said in ours in the week, like, the Lo Celso deal's done financially. So he spent like 110 million on two midfield players there.
But he did think he was getting money back in.
They couldn't get the players out the door that Pochettino went. That's more the problem. It's not actually what's been incoming. Was that Pochettino couldn't add to the incomings that he has got because he couldn't get players out the door. He spoke after the Champions League final about wanting to completely refresh the squad. That's not happened. And I think you're spot on, Tom, about when you look back on it in hindsight, those times where you kind of felt United were going through pain, but then it came back again, didn't it? They'd have spells where he had people he was trying in there, like the Cleversons and stuff which didn't work out, but for every one of those, there were others that did, gems like Ronaldo, for example. And so Ferguson constantly recycled every sort of maximum 5 years, if not every three and four. And Pochettino's at that stage now where he obviously got us to a stage we never thought we could get to. He needs to recycle that now. That's not happened. He might pay the price, unfortunately. How are you feeling at the moment about it, Nick?
Yeah, I'm a little bit depressed as well, to be honest, in terms of our most recent fortunes. It's not been great recently. I think it exactly is about that. I think it's to do with the players that we've had. They were all performing. It's essentially the same team we had 4 to 5 years ago when we were performing brilliantly, and the likes of Ericsson, Naldavir, Old Vertonghen, and all being in the last years of their contracts, all looking to move, really doesn't help, as well as some of the players who are starting to age and aren't, you know, sort of beyond their best potential. You know, the likes of Danny Rose was pretty good a few years ago. He's not very good anymore. You know, the centre-backs, as I mentioned, they don't seem to want to play anymore. We sold our two best right-backs and now got a real problem in that position. The midfield, we've lost Dembele. And then up front, Harry Kane's really out of form as well. And since his injury, he's not the same player he was two seasons ago. And I don't know whether he's ever going to be that same player again. So it is a little bit concerning for us at the moment. I think it's going to have to be a summer of change and just see what happens over the course of this season, see if we can find that form, see if we can rediscover that team cohesion and that energy that we had a few seasons ago when we were actually competing for the title, because right now we're going to struggle to finish in the top four.
Nick, Tom, can I just ask you both before we come off that? I'm still going to captain Kane next weekend. Is that mad?
What are you looking for? Permission or?
No, I just want their opinion.
It's Watford at home. Why not? You know, if you're not going to captain him against Watford at home, then get rid altogether, because this is a team that conceded 8 against Manchester City. I think they're bottom of the league right now. They're looking absolutely terrible. Their defence is really old as well. And, you know, they've got the likes of Dawson and Holabaz, and they're just not very good at the moment. I think it's a real good punt, actually.
I'm doing it anyway.
Nick's giving you the green light on this. So while we're on it and we're talking about captains, you talked about on your last show, the armband on Callum Wilson next week, right?
Yeah.
I, in my bus team, or bust team for James, have got the armband on Callum Wilson. So let's make a pact. Are you going
to
buy him? Have you got him?
Yeah, I've got to buy him. All right. I'll buy him for Firmino. Yeah.
Okay, so we both do it. We both captain him. If he fails, you can blame me, I'll blame you.
Yeah,
and if he's successful, we both go out there together, holding hands, saying we're the heroes of FPL.
Yeah, both claim the credit equally.
We can shake on it now. We're both captaining Callum Wilson next week.
God.
Done.
It's a good week to do it, though, isn't it?
Nick talked about it, targeting Norwich. I can't disagree with you. I can't agree with you more. Sorry, agree. Like, Norwich are done for, man. They're conceding goals left, right and centre. If you've got a striker playing against them, you've got to go for it.
Same true of Watford.
I've still got that dilemma that I had on the pod, on our last pod, in terms of who's actually in my team, because I'm wild carding, yeah, and I haven't changed it up since we last did the pod, and I still don't have Callum Wilson in that team, and I'm starting to get really concerned about that. I think I'm going to have to make a few more changes. I've currently got Aubameyang, just because I thought Arsenal's run was really good, but then I look at Arsenal's run and I think, actually, is he worth it? You know, they're playing teams like Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, you know, they're kind of, you know, lower level teams, but they're actually lower level teams. They've been pretty damn defensively solid.
They're good defensively. Definitely good defensively.
You know, it's not Norwich at home, who we know pretty much are probably one of the worst defences. And then after that, Bournemouth have Watford. So they've got Norwich and Watford, perhaps the two worst defences in the league, whilst Aubameyang's got Sheffield United and Crystal Palace, which are actually probably better defences than the likes of Spurs and Chelsea at the moment, or Manchester United even, maybe, in terms of actually keeping sheets so far this season.
Yeah, don't doubt that. We had a question come in for you guys. Let's do a question and then we're going to take a short break because we need to. Who's Bonnie and who's Clyde? So I've never watched the movies or nothing. Is there like Bonnie and Clyde, one was good and one was bad?
I don't know. I think we're more Thelma and Louise, aren't we?
Thelma and Louise. I don't get the reference either. Have you ever seen the movies or anything? Nick,
no.
Help us out here. Bonnie and Clyde. Any idea?
I haven't seen the films, unfortunately. I think they're just two people on the run, weren't they? Basically committing crimes and escaping the law. I think one was a woman, one was a man. That's the kind of the difference I know about them. So I'll be Clyde and Tom could be Bonnie.
We're based in Tottenham, so we're definitely criminals.
With apologies to Sean McCall, we got no idea. The four of us probably looked really stupid between us then.
Yeah, fair play. Well, you can always tweet and give us some clarification and we can always jump back on it. But there was a question on your thread, I think, about the Avengers and who would win in a battle royale out of all of them as well. I think I can't remember who tweeted the gif of the Avengers all getting together. You guys had the dog gif found.
Well, me and
Tom's
Tom,
a bit of a gif king.
Yeah, I do like a gif.
Me and Tom were in wind up mode yesterday.
Yeah, Manchild, are they gifs or gifs? Ooh,
gifs.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, but I just like winding Manchild up with gifs.
Tom, take us into a break, mate.
Yes.
That was Nicky S that asked that question.
Yeah.
He asked a slightly different question. Something about which superhero would win a Royal Rumble fight to the death, apparently.
Incredible Hulk, surely. Which superhero would win a fight to the death? Incredible Hulk. Incredible Hulk. They were shooting at that guy and he bullets bounce off him. He's like 15 times the size of everyone.
I'm surely like Flash Gordon, because he'll just literally kill everyone before they've even moved.
Maybe.
Or something like that. Or maybe, you know, someone like Doctor Strange just changed time. I've won already. Cheers,
I think you just gravitate towards your favourite, Hulk, man. He's the man. He's the biggest beast of them all. Incredible Hulk.
Instead of the beast, Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Nah, Hulk would eat that guy for breakfast. He'd fucking pour milk on him with a spoon and he'd be done.
Thanos, are we not including villains? Because I think...
Oh, look at him going
now
for
he's
the
getting
villain.
Sophisticated. This is when, like, most people have like five superheroes: Batman, Spider-Man, Hulk, Superman, and one other. And then you start bringing out the ones from the comic books.
Yeah, I know that was in the movies. I don't watch films. I hate. I can't.
No movies at all.
I just don't like them because I haven't got the attention span. Right, I'm a gamer. I want to be actively playing. I don't like sitting there just. I can't do that. I'm not very. I can't switch off my brain. So
how
I don't,
do you? Okay, so
don't watch films,
serious
man.
Question then. How do you watch a football match?
Or is that different? With my phone, second screen in a lot of the time.
Oh, really? So you're doing two things at one time. You can't watch a game.
I can, but I do get bored. Like I get bored of literally anything. I haven't got that attention span to keep going.
I feel like he's glaring at us.
Yeah, I'm not too dissimilar. Like normally I like to have a drink and a chat and eat some food and whatever whilst football's going on.
That's it.
I'm not like you want no distractions. Let me watch the game.
No, yeah, yeah.
Whereas I'm quite different. I'm more like you. I don't mind having two things on the same. I probably couldn't play a game or whatever at the same time, but I'd happily eat and drink and chat whilst the game's on for sure.
There we go. I'll get distracted if the game's shit, but I particularly in the first half, I like to look for tactical side of the games and that.
Yeah, fair play. Go on then, Tom. Let's take us into a break.
All right, let's take a break there, and we'll be back with the features after this.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
The Fantasy Football Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Now you can see me looking at you. Let's carry on with the show. What's happening, James? Tell us.
Well, I thought, if we were coming onto a pod with Tom and Nick, we should bring some sort of stat to this.
I found an interesting one.
It's just one stat, and I think it opens up a conversation.
Let's do it.
I'd drop on the guys, and they probably already know it.
Yeah.
Sadio Mane has more FPL points than Mohamed Salah over the last 27 game weeks.
Okay.
Discuss.
Is that this calendar year, 27 game weeks? Or?
Yeah.
Give or take.
19 of last season and the first 8 of this week. So second half of last season, the first 8 game weeks.
I'm confused as to how this is still a debate on Salah versus Mane. I'm confused because Mane just is better value. Sometimes I think I always go with Mane because he's cheaper and I'm Indian, so we're cheap. So we always go with the cheaper option. We do. We're cheap. So, but I just think he's better value. If you've got two players that are comparable, why would you just not go with a cheaper option?
Anyway,
but this is over a captain option, right?
Why would you not come on Mane? £11.5 million player.
No,
but
what I mean by that is, at that level, it probably shouldn't be as much of a conversation over which one's cheaper. At that level, between the Salah and Mane, you're choosing which one's. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's not enough in it. It's not 2 million in it like it was, I think, last season or so to say, okay. And even still, most of us were still going for Salah, right?
Last year, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if you and I, James, are a little bit in the minority of people that haven't got Salah, and also he's not the first name on the team sheet. When I did that wild card on the FYI show and they tweeted it, I looked at some of the tweets and the thing that always stood out to me was like, how can you not have Salah? How can you not have Salah? How can you not have Salah? How can you? I'm in this kind of bubble of like, I'm not getting Salah. Forget about it. I'm not paying £12.5 million for him. But the wider community is still Salah.
It's the fear factor. That's all it is. So, I mean, we've all got memories. So I sold him before Bournemouth last year, got the hat trick against me. And, you know, I sold him on this wild card, and all I got back was exactly the same. I worked on game week 6. Everyone was saying, you're going to sell Salah, you're going to get punished straight away, blah, blah, blah. It's all psychological, really. Between the two of them, if you watch them play, Mane's the guy who's getting the end product at the moment. For the vast majority. And to be honest, Mane's a better finisher, really. Let's just put that out there. He's the guy who converts.
I think it's something he's developed in his game in the last 2-3 years at Liverpool.
Absolutely. That guy maybe wasn't there before. Another level, I think, of just he's able to just match Salah pound for pound.
Say he scores a wider range of goals, Mane.
Exactly.
When Firmino's dropped out for whatever reason, Origi's in, Mane's the one that jumps centrally more than Salah, in my opinion. There is times when Salah's jumped in central, but it's Mane more who plays up front. I know a Liverpool fan who was saying to me that the thing is that it benefits Mane to be central. It doesn't benefit Salah to be central necessarily. He doesn't score more points. He's better off coming
off the wing. Depends on the opposition. We saw in that Bournemouth fixture last year, and then they played Wolves away afterwards, where I think that's probably where the real regret came as well, because not only did you sell Salah at that time, but he went up front and then he scored and assisted at Wolves and looked like he should have got more as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly you think, oh my God, what have I done? But it changed back quite quickly afterwards. What's your feeling on the two, Nick?
So, I've actually switched from Salah for the first time since he joined Liverpool. I've basically owned him for every single game week bar one, when I think I free-hitted and Liverpool had a blank. So it's new-founded territory, actually, for me to finally ditch Mo Salah and go for Sadio Mane. But to be honest, I feel like over the last, maybe not a year ago, but in the last 12 months, Mane has been the better player compared to Salah. Mane's been much better in terms of converting the chances he's got. He's looking more fit than Salah at the moment. Salah seems a little bit off the pace just in the last couple of games I've seen, whilst Mane seems a bit more fit and firing. In terms of the sort of chances, Salah's always had a lot more chances than Mane, and that's always been very obvious in terms of the goal attempts. But actually this season, there's not really too much difference in terms of their chances. So Salah's had a chance every 27.2 minutes this season, and Mane's only just behind on 32. So what's typically been a sort of superior stat for Salah is very much now neck and neck in terms of the minutes per chance. And Mane's just converting more, so I feel like, especially with the money factor as well, having that extra 0.8 million goes an absolute mile in terms of what I can do on my wild card.
What would you do if they were the same price? Because Mane's going up and creeping up. Come game week 12, 13, when the fixtures swing for Liverpool, if there's such a thing, because they're still 8 from 8 right now. Does it even matter? People are going to be going... I think more people will gravitate towards Mane than they will Salah. So Salah may come down, Mane may go up. There'll be a point where it's not 0.8 between them. They're the same. And at that point, I don't know. I think people might start gravitating back towards Salah, potentially, if they're the same price.
I agree with you there, Serge. Yep. I think it's just if Mane and Salah were the same price, I probably wouldn't make the move, and that's probably more of a psychological factor, to be honest, rather than actually playing factor. The fact that Salah's always been my guy, the guy I've always had in my team, and the hate this whole idea of people who sort of sell Salah one week and bring in Mane the next, then do the exact opposite. And we always see that in our market forces. If Salah gets a brace, everyone's selling Mane and buying Salah, and it's the opposite next week. And I really don't want to be one of those guys that's sort of like jumping between the two in like the red roulette or whatever. So I think I'd probably just say, like I always say, stick with your man and keep him all season and don't rotate and chase the points. And I think if they were the same price, I'd have to stand by that mantra and say, right, you know what, maybe Salah's not scored the last few games, but we know he's a top quality player. We know Mane's a top quality player, but you can't have both realistically. So stick with one and just stay with them for the course of the season.
Yeah, we see this every international break, don't we? We see it. I remember last year there were arguments every international break. Oh, Mane's outperforming his numbers. Like Mane's XG is much lower than Salah's. The touches in the box are much lower than Salah's. But I mean, you can touch all around the box, but it's only exciting if it goes in, lads, right? So it kind of makes sense for Mane too.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the time it's where, maybe we'll talk about this in a bit, but where the eye test does come in a little bit, because you can have Salah doing all these little delicate touches around the box, but at the end of the day, FPL is a game of end products, right?
Yeah.
So in fact, the way in which that Salah, Mane brought it up at the end of last year, and basically was level with Salah at the end of last year, absolutely incredible. And this year he's overtaken by 2 points for the first time, and I think that will continue.
There is always going to be, part of me is like, let's have that chat about eye test versus stats. That we're never going to solve that argument or debate, and also that it's kind of almost futile. But one way to bring it up is like pointless stats, for example. So Tom Campbell, who just put out a really good thread about game weeks 1 to 8 with a bunch of really interesting stats that I was looking through, and some of them you look at and you think, oh, okay, I didn't realise that, and that actually might affect my decision making. And some of them you look at and you think, that is nonsense. Not being an offensive way. And the one I'm going to highlight is like Ryan Fredericks. One of the tweets in the thread was, Ryan Fredericks is the second highest for touches in the penalty box of all defenders or something. I'm like, yo, I watch West Ham week in, week out. Forget about it. Like, he's just not not a consideration. He can touch the box, touch the ball in the box. That sounds a bit dodgy, but he can touch the ball in the box absolutely. As much as he wants. He's still crappy.
It's the Cedric.
And crappy is not a swear word,
It's the Cedric factor. So when he was at Southampton like a couple of years ago, everyone was all over Cedric from a stats point of view because he had so many crosses and he created so many chances. People were like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. He's about to explode. Never did. I think one game on the Mark Hughes, he did actually get 2 assists. Apart from that, absolutely jackal.
Nothing.
Why was that? Because if you watched him play, those crosses were literally hitting the first man every single time. He gets the byline, cross it in.
Hits first man.
According to the stats, is a cross. Chances created, a little kind of widdly ball goes nowhere. Yeah. Like, a lot of the time, it does have to be kind of joined together. Like, you can't just do things just on the stats, I suppose, in some ways. You've got to have that sort of contextual view of how the player's playing and what they're doing.
And another overall, now on crosses.
there are so many factors that you have to put into it. So, for example, your example on Cedric there, the fact that he was crossing as well to the likes of Gabby Adini or Shane Long meant the fact that those, even if he did make meters, man, he was never going to go into the back of the net. And I guess that's kind of what Lucas Dean is suffering from a little bit this season as well. He's creating tons of chances, but you've got the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin on the end of those chances who can't seem to score. And that's why Everton are really struggling. They've missed a number nine since Lukaku left. So even if Lucas Dean is creating lots of chances, very few are going to fruition. But I think, going back to your point, Sush, I think, yes, stats are really important. You know, that penalty box touch one's pretty ridiculous. I think the example we saw last season as well was Sean Morrison. I think he was leading the numbers for a long time in terms of penalty box touches. And we're trying to figure out why that actually was.
Long
it was
throws.
Just all of Aaron Gunnarsson's long throws hitting Sean Morrison. Yeah. Got ahead and then nothing was happening. So you kind of have to, you can't really isolate one stat. It's all about looking at the bigger picture and tons of numbers and then trying to build something alongside the eye test as well, which of course we were talking about.
Yeah.
No, so on crosses, if I can just jump in there.
Yeah,
so
go on.
Just what I was going to say on crosses. So Nick's kind of highlight what I was going to mention about Dean. But you don't get the proportion of goals scored from crosses that we got 20 years ago, right?
Absolutely not.
Because teams aren't playing in that sort
same
of way,
way
so much. So Dean's delivery, sort of from a deeper area, and obviously occasionally when he gets to the byline, is obviously outstanding. We've got two problems. One, you're not getting as many goals from that kind of areas on overall in football. And two, we've alluded to, the kind of players on the end of the cross are not of the quality to finish them either.
I mean, Southampton now, you've got Che Adams on the end of the cross, so let's forget about that. But you mentioned something there, and so did you, James. I'm going to put it to Tom. Who is the Everton left-back? Currently, who's the Everton left-back?
Well, Luca Dean, isn't it?
Luca Dean. Who is he for you? Because I thought between the four of us, we could figure out what his name is. Luca or Lucas? And is it Dean or Dinier?
Luca
Dinier?
Luca Dean. There was a video where he said his name. That's one of the ones.
Okay. Yeah, Luca Dean.
How he wants it.
Luca Dean.
Like Gunga Dean.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I thought that was one thing that I did. I'm still confused myself. Luca Dean.
Luca Dean. We got told off. We always get told. I don't know if you guys do. We get told off so many times about pronunciation. Like the Irish fella. Doherty. We get told off so many times, like, for getting that wrong. Like, there's one guy who's running like an anti campaign on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
But Wolves' official account called him Doc so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's never responded to that when they put that up. But they call him that. They call him the Doc. So I think as far as they say it, I think that's all right. But yeah, Doherty's the Irish way. Doherty, like Tommy Doherty, is the English way
Doherty,
of saying it. That's
yeah.
why people get annoyed. It's not as being colonial. It's just what the Wolves Twitter account has said.
Do you think not going to... I mean, because obviously James and I go to a few more because of the availability and season tickets and all the rest of it. Do you think watching games on TV is different to watching them live that affects your decision-making? I'm also curious as to, like, the commentators, do they bias your opinion on what's going on in the game potentially sometimes?
No, I don't really listen to the commentary normally. I normally have it on mute. Yeah,
we've discovered a couple of things. Your favourite ones.
If I'm watching it, I'll be doing something else. So I won't really be listening to the commentary. I'll be watching the football and watching kind of what's going on. Similar to what James was saying, trying to figure out some things beyond just this guy's having a lot of shots. Like, what's the movement? What's going on? How is the introduction of the defensive midfielder meant that the attacking midfielder can get forward a little bit and get into the space? So I think. I do wish I could get some more games. It does mean that you get this kind of perennial eye test thing where you're saying, I've watched this guy play X times and I think he's therefore good because he was very good versus X. But equally, I think you're still able to get enough sight of the football. You're able to kind of tick that box, say, yeah, okay, I've had the contextual side of it. I kind of see how these stats are kind of being executed in real time, if that makes sense. Like, I can see where that number's come from. As with Cedric, it's a bad number. As with Salah, as with Jamie Vardy, you can see why the stats don't tell the whole story, because the story on Jamie Vardy is stats are horrendous. They're so bad.
Yeah.
Don't buy this guy. But the reality is, he only needs two shots.
We're all looking
clinical
at him.
Man.
Exactly.
Absolutely clinical finisher.
So it's just about being
boy.
Clever with it and applying your own brain, which is a very key thing that I assume that everyone who listens to us at least does. But there you go.
Yeah, I try.
Can I ask a personal question to two of you? Because we get asked this a lot.
Sure.
The question of, would you rather your team won the league or you won FPL? How would that be for you two?
I'd rather win FPL. This coming up. I'm an Arsenal fan, but I think you're a fan in a different level to
I'm
me.
I'm a bit weird. Yeah.
I'd say I'm a follower in that sense. Like, perhaps, like, I'll look up for our results first. I'll say us. I won't say they. I'll say us. And I'll, like, if I can get to a game, if I can get a ticket, I'll go. But it's not, like, what perhaps sets my mood on the weekend. That's FPL. FPL is what dictates how I'm feeling on the Sunday and the Monday. Whereas for you, I'm guessing it's more what how Spurs have done.
Yeah, not definitely. That's guessing, number mate, one. Forget about
it. Yeah, so I think it's just how my brain. It's a little bit different for me, I suppose, and that's fine. I think I think that you can experience football and experience FPL in lots of different ways, and
yeah,
they're all valid.
Where are you on that, Nick? Spurs winning the league or you winning FPL?
I think it's a struggle to kind of equate the two because they're two very different feelings. Obviously, if Spurs won the league, you'd be celebrating with many and lots of other people. But then if you've won FPL, you're competing against 6 million people. It's an even bigger challenge. It's an individual victory. So I'm probably sitting on the fence a little bit in terms of my answer, but I don't really have one. I think it's the same question you say, oh, who would you prefer, to England to win the World Cup or Spurs to win the league?
Spurs to win the league.
Spurs to win the league or the Champions League. You know, they're all very different feelings. So it's hard to kind of put one above the other. If I was pressed, I'd probably say to win FPL, to be honest.
It's interesting. I'd say West Ham to win the league, but I don't think I'm quite to the spectrum where you are because... For example, at halftime during a game, I'll still check how many points I've got, or if I can, because the Wi-Fi, the reception is so bad in stadiums. If they can do one thing when they're spending £1 billion or however much on your stadium or our stadium, just put a phone mast on there so we can get some flipping reception. Anyway, I'll check FPL scores at halftime and I'll be interested in it. Whereas you won't, right? You're just concentrated on the game. And that's it, the game. Whereas I'll check both. But I'd still rather West Ham won the league. I suppose, from my point of view, we're way further off it. So it'd be like Leicester winning the league kind of thing. And that would be a completely different experience altogether.
Well, like, if Man City and Liverpool weren't in the league, you'd have half a shot this year, to be honest.
Yeah. Just looking at the way those two are so far ahead of everyone.
Yeah, it's become Barcelona, Real Madrid, hasn't it?
It's
at the moment.
It's so I don't know how to even comprehend it. But
except we haven't got an Atletico.
Well, that's true. Nah. I mean, there was a time not very long ago when I read Sid Lowe in the Guardian, for example, just keep up with that. And there was a time not long ago when basically a draw for either of those teams, Real Madrid and Barcelona, was basically a loss because the other team's going to keep winning relentlessly. And you see it with Liverpool versus City this year. Those lost points are going to really sell. And last year, with those 3 draws to Liverpool and they're 5 points ahead, like that can that's going to really show, isn't it? I think that's really going to have an impact. Sorry, Manchild's pointing at me.
What? Yeah, yeah. You're allowed to speak. This is not school, you know.
Yeah, you can speak to me. He's getting increasingly...
Manchild used to teach me about... we'll talk about something, but Tom Campbell asked the question about podcasting in general, but Manchild used to tell me about, is it the glass wall or something where behind the camera you're not allowed to... The fourth wall. Yeah, so behind the fourth wall. There's no fourth wall here.
There's no fourth
You're one
wall.
Of us.
It's not like Netflix.
You're one of us. You can join the conversation.
House of Cards wasn't it one of the first ones where he spoke to the audience and that was really what was made a difference.
We're just talking about you being allowed to use your voice.
We are completely indoctrinating these two. And they're joining us on tangents. Should I read Tom Campbell's question?
Save that one for last, I think, because this is about podcasting as a whole. It'd be a nice one to wrap up on. Nick, are we giving the Premier League trophy to Liverpool? Do you think it's done and dusted?
I would never say it's done and dusted. I mean, we've only had eight weeks so far this season, but you know, Liverpool have won all their games so far. They look unbeatable right now. It much depends, I think, when they play that Manchester City. I'm not sure, is it game week 12 or so?
Yeah, 12. 12.
That's going to be a real big game. And if they win that one, then I'll say, look, hands down, looks like they're going to win the league. At this moment in time, City have been pretty good. They've lost against Norwich, they've lost against Wolves, kind of unexpected losses. They seem to have a few weaknesses. I'd say, especially in defence, the Liverpool defence looks much better than City's. And I think I was listening to your pod and you mentioned obviously Alisson coming back is going to be another big factor for Liverpool in the coming weeks, and that's going to improve them even greater. Whilst Manchester City, they've got that problem in central
for quite
defense,
a while as well. They've got a problem. What are you thinking, Tom? Are we giving a trophy? Because I think we're pretty sold that Liverpool are likely to
win. I think
they'll
win it. It's too early to
say it. I was the same as you guys. I agree with you guys. On paper.
Start of the season, we all said City. Now we're saying Liverpool.
What I would say
we have changed our opinion.
between now and the next international break, it could be finished. Yeah. Like City have got to win the three games before they play Liverpool. They can't afford to be in a position where they go there where suddenly they're 10-11 behind and then they lose at Anfield. And then at that point, that's too big.
Yeah,
you're not even sure if Liverpool would lose 14 points.
The problem is at that point, when you get to like 14 points behind, City may then just prioritise the Champions League, which, fair play, they should. That only puts them in a more disadvantaged position in the league anyway, because they're more likely to lose games. At that point, they are almost thrown in the towel. The irony is they're still going to finish second, probably by about 10, 15 points, which is madness.
And there's no doubt it'll be the top two. The rest are miles off at the
moment. Absolute madness.
What's really interesting about them is they both had to manage one keystone being injured. Liverpool did it very early with Alisson. They've now had time to adjust, I think. They kind of just about got through the games with Adrian in goal, and now they're at the point where they're out to strengthen. With City, I think it's been an even bigger loss at Laporte. If you look at the contrast between him as a footballer, as a defender, and look at the contrast between him and Otamendi, it's night and day.
Yeah,
right? Laporte, very clever, doesn't need to make that tackle because he's already in the right position to cover the run. Otamendi...
Rash.
What's he going to do? Diving, he's going to lunge in. He's going to, like, you know,
get the speedos in and do a dive.
And it's really difficult to try to, for them with limited resources, like covering that, I think it's going to be even bigger than covering Alisson in goal. Not like doing down what Alisson does for Liverpool, but covering that one guy in central midfield. Like if Van Dijk and Laporte got injured at the same time, that would be really interesting. But I think City losing the port, losing that linchpin, that's been huge.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
With City, like if you saw particularly in the Wolves game, the amount of times they uncharacteristically gave the ball away.
Yeah.
Whereas in most games, if City keep the ball well enough, as you know they can, whatever's at the back defensively won't particularly be an issue. But even in the first half, before the two counter-attacking goals, the Wolves, Jimenez had a couple of breaks, Crotone as well, but they were giving the ball away, making errors for themselves. It's probably a nervousness, which I think Liverpool suffered for, particularly in the first few weeks without Alisson, going, what's this behind me? I don't feel comfortable enough. We spoke so many times about Liverpool and their spine, and as long as it stays together, they'll be all right.
But strong as you like.
As you said, like, we've been without Alisson, they've won every game.
Yeah, it's 8 impressive. From 8 is no joke. And they've only conceded 6 goals in that time as well, which is just absolutely mental.
He's big at the back, still a thing.
Are we even doing that?
I don't know, should we?
Nick, you're getting 2 Liverpool on your wild card, aren't you?
No, I've had 2 with Liverpool on my wild card for the course of the season. I've actually stepped away from big at the back in a big way in terms of my existing team. I've gone for more sort of a premium approach, having sort of Sterling, Aubameyang, KDB and Mane. So now my defence is looking pretty small at the back. The only one I'm keeping is TAA. I think he's really critical for the success over the course of the season, but I've gone pretty cheap otherwise. You know, these 4.5 million defenders that have emerged, I think, can do a pretty decent job for my team, like Soyuncu, Tomori, and the likes of Rico and Lundstrom, showing that you can get value in the cheaper end of the defence as well as value in the more expensive end of the defence. So I feel like Kando's, you know, big at the back's not working at the moment. But saying that, I reckon with Alisson coming back, there could be some more clean sheets coming Liverpool's way. They've been really unlucky this season to only have the 2.
For sure. Nick, are there any more questions on your Twitter feed that anybody asked for you guys to ask us? But obviously these questions are all open to them. And then we'll get into Tom Campbell's question, which I think is a little bit broader in terms of podcasting in general and that kind of thing. And while Nick's having a look, James, what have we got? Anything good? Other than somebody asking about whether or not we're...
To be honest, it's probably more personal questions about how we feel about it. Like, Dan, Love. FPL Chancellor, what's the one thing you admire most about each other's pods that you know absolutely would not work on your own?
Tom's rapping.
Tom's Nick impressions.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
He still hasn't heard it.
He hasn't heard it yet. You're like, I mean it. I don't listen back often enough, probably because we haven't got enough time. By the time we published one, we're on to recording the next. It's very tricky. It's very tricky. Are there any on your side, Nick, questions-wise? Oh, yeah.
I'm biting my tongue because I instantly want to.
Yeah, true. Any good questions on your side, Nick?
I have some more sort of FPL related questions. We've got a question about Callum Hudson-Odoi from Arnish Mishra, whether he'd be a good Chelsea differential, sort of a slightly different pick to the likes of Mountain Abraham that become very template.
Yeah, I mean, do it if you want to.
I think just leave all of those like it's my team this week, blah blah blah. That's not really the point of why we're here.
Yeah, man. Let's go to TC's question. Can you read that? Do you want me to read it? Or do you want to read it? How's your reading levels now?
All right, I'm going to read it.
Okay.
From our friend Tom, open question for you all. Do you each have a love of podcasting full stop? Say, for example, if fantasy footy ceased to exist, would you continue your podcasting in a different guise? And if so, what would you like to cover? Just footy, something additional. Cheers, guys.
Do you listen to any non-FPL podcasts?
No, I listen to music. I listen to you guys always cheating, Three Amigos and a couple of others, and then that's it. I'm done for the week. I don't want to listen to any more podcasts. There's only so much I can take. I listen to you guys, and people are actually all my friends, so I want to support you by listening to you. But like, I don't know. I'm the sort of guy.
You're more into music.
Yeah, I'm the sort of guy most similar to you. Like, it's going out there and making things happen, getting things done. You know, and I think that's the reason we kind of started this as well. And I think I'd want to do something. I don't know what it would be. It's very hard to think about. Like. For something around gaming, something around, like, there's so many good football podcasts, pure football podcasts out there that I wouldn't stand a chance. There's no point in me even trying to enter that market, I don't think. So it would have to be something completely different, I think, if it wasn't FPL. FPL is my niche. That's why I'm there. Which I only came to late in life, but there you go.
I used to be an iPhone user probably at least 3-4 years ago, and I just think their integration on the podcasting app was so much easier to use, where everything was in one place, that I used to listen to a lot more podcasts when I had my iPhone than I do now with my Android phone, which is a bit weird. I don't know how technology has affected my consumption of podcasts, but I used to listen to a lot of different varied podcasts. Now less so, probably because we're recording so much and time's gone. And so, yeah, things like, have you ever listened to Serial? The Serial podcast?
I did that.
Was probably one of the best ever. I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of downloads on that one. And that was really good. And the spin-offs from that, I'll listen to Gary Vaynerchuk from time to time. I used to listen to Tim Ferriss a lot 4 years ago, but then he's more kind of body hacking, life hacking, all kind of just speaking to the best of the best in all of their different fields or various stuff. It was fascinating stuff, but it got to the point where saturation of like information. What's the point in information and knowledge if you don't do anything with it? Like, it's nice to know about certain things, but I like to get information and knowledge and then do something with it. And I got to the point probably about 12, 18 months ago. I was like, I don't need to learn anymore. I need to do shit with... Do stuff with the stuff I've already learned. So I've consumed a bit less and tried to get more into fiction. But not being into music is actually one of my regrets, I think. I'm not really that into music. I'll whack TalkSport on or Five Live or whatever. I think music is food for the soul. Just get a bit spiritual.
It's getting profound.
But music really is, and that's one of the things that I've not... So like, I picked the boys up from school yesterday. We had rock... AC/DC, Prince, all that, full volume in the car home. And I was like, actually, you know what? That was an enjoyable 20-minute experience of, like...
And
something...
my kids are deaf.
Well, they love it. So I think, yeah, music's really interesting. But I do like listening to other podcasts. I would like to do something different, something else, turn mics on and just talk about something
just
else.
Just
look
to
but me
there
what.
As if to go, do one, mate.
No, but like, what are we going to talk about? No, we're going to do it together. What are we going to talk about?
Fuck off, James. I'll do my own
properly,
one now.
He just swore. He did properly impassioned speech and looked at me and went, go away, James.
No, like, yeah, James, I would like to do something else.
What else could we talk about?
Sorry, mate. Who got the assistant, James? That's a new thing.
Well, Tom's question was very much, what would you do without fantasy footy? Well, I think for yourself and I, we've kind of explored that a little bit with the Tottenham podcast, which is essentially scrap FPL. We're going to talk about our clubs
and the Bury one as well.
That was brilliant, guys.
That was really good.
That's good to hear because there was a lot of people before we did the Bury podcast were like, you're a fantasy football podcast, don't do that. But it felt like, for me, we're football fans, and I think like that story resonated with everybody. And the way Suj covered the financials on it with about 30 minutes research was astonishing.
Not much more.
But that's probably
more.
Actually the first time we've ever actually properly researched.
We've done a bit more planning for that one. It wasn't sure. For me, the FPL show is a gateway to build up an audience for us. I don't see it being the only thing we do long term. I would like to get more into mainstream football content if and when the audience is big enough. I'm not sure. Nick, do you listen to anything else? Or is it always Netflix and chill?
I listen to quite a lot of music, like Tom. I think Tom's question was really good, though, and it's something that I've thought about a lot in the past. Personally, in terms of time, I've really struggled just to do anything other than the Who Got The Assist podcast each week, just because of work and family. But, you know, I'd love to kind of expand the range in terms of what we do. And I think maybe myself and Tom would go down a slightly different route maybe than you guys. As you said, you'd probably explore in terms of sort of football pods and, you know, different other elements of football, whilst me and Tom might go down a more kind of gaming route if we were to kind of expand the FPL. So if we couldn't do the Fantasy Premier League, we might, you know, start, you know, doing something in terms of other games that we play, you know, FIFA's example. We've done a few nerdy things that we don't mention.
Are you guys into Minecraft?
We've done D&D,
yeah.
So we might go down
the,
that route.
The reason I ask is because my 5 and 7 year olds play Minecraft. I don't understand, and I'm just kind of curious as to about learning about Minecraft. My 5 year old wanted to, he's seen us, the studio and the podcast, and he wanted to start a podcast with me.
Aww,
so we did
cool.
Two episodes, the Dad and Aaron show, right? So I just recorded it on my phone
for
no reason other than to keep him happy. He'll talk for England. He'll talk and he'll talk and he'll talk. We talked about it in the last show,
yeah,
right?
He took
him to the football. Bloody hell, just jabber. Turn the mic on, silence.
Aww.
It's like one word answers. I'm like, what's the point in us doing this if you don't want to actually say anything? But yeah, it'd be interesting to document the work inner workings of 5 and 6 and 7 year olds because they're weird. They're funny. They're weird. But I don't know. I just don't think I'd ever get around to really being able to pull it off.
Maybe 10 years from now we can have the kids all on together.
Maybe. Fantasy football. Your child producing it.
We already
had a... there was shots fired yesterday about positions or something, wasn't there?
I might have said something, yeah. We could have words about it, yeah.
There we go.
It's
an interesting format, podcasting. I mean, we started as a podcast, but obviously you guys write articles on your website as well.
No, I only do it in the summer. I haven't got the time. I think a lot of the time it's about your time. That's the most precious resource you've got. We're lucky enough to be in a position where we're paid well enough that we're not as worried about money as we used to be. That's not to say that we're fucking rolling in it. It's just saying that we're at a point in our lives where we're doing okay. But time is so important. I haven't got that time because we both work quite demanding jobs, although it doesn't look like it for me being on Twitter. We both work very demanding jobs. We've only got so much bandwidth to do for this sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And we're not... I mean, you guys are probably looking to scale up. I think, for me, unless I start to make money from this, which is commensurate to what I'm paid at work, then this is the apex of what I'm willing to do
to put into it.
Because at the end of the day, if I'm not making money from it, if I am making money from it, it becomes a job. I've already got one of those. I don't want that. I don't want to do a Patreon or anything like that at the moment.
Yeah.
When I have kids and I need the extra cash, then maybe I'll be saying to people, please give me some money for my for my beer and for my mortgage, please. But I'm probably not going to be saying that for the time being. Because I don't need the money, really, and that's why I'm doing it.
Well, I hate my job. I want to do it full time. I'm still just my boss, by the way.
Yeah, tell your boss. I was just saying, tell your boss.
It's the question I don't like getting asked the most, to be honest with you. When are you going to monetize, or why aren't you monetizing? I hate that question. And I don't even want to go down that road of will we, won't we, whatever. I think it's just because I don't have an answer to that question, and I have no desire to want to answer that question or go down that road. So I don't even want to open that can of worms. Why does something that's a passion and something that we're doing have to end up at that point?
Nice.
Not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with it, but I just find that question a bit awkward when people ask it.
I think it's because we're British, and a lot of the time we find it difficult to talk about money. If you listen to Always Cheating, for example, I'm not knocking them at all. This is fine. Their podcast has got loads of ads on it. And the thing is, if I did that, I'd be saying, I'm really sorry, guys. I have to do this because of X, Y, and Z. I've been told so by my advertiser.
Yourself.
I'd have to do that. And Americans don't have to, because that's kind of the expected norm. Like, the one podcast I do listen to is a Star Trek Deep Space Nine podcast. That's
really?
How cool I am. And that's full of adverts, just because that is just expected, and that's how people look at it. For us, I think, for me at least, it's a passion, it's a vocation. And if you bring money into something, it does colour it, I think. And bring in, especially between a friendship as well, me and Nick, like, if it started to become something like that, it becomes a different sort of relationship, I suppose. I mean, for you guys, it'll be different. It's obviously employee-employer, but you know, for us, I don't think it's going to quite work.
But not in the instance of Planet FPL.
Yeah, of course.
The beauty of that is it allows us to do like 6 podcasts a week, which is mental.
One of the questions we often obviously get is how do you do it? We are blessed that we can record at lunchtime or before work or after work. We are literally basically 20 yards from each other. Yeah. So that's where we're fortunate to get in that position.
We're blessed and cursed with this bastard an over amazing here as well.
Editor.
And he's not even looking at us, man-child.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't know it.
They're dimming the lights.
I mean, you guys
have Manchild able to edit stuff for us.
Yeah, but you guys didn't come to me earlier on. I said when you were saying what you liked about what one thing I wish I had. It's a Manchild. Like I do all the work as well.
He's available for hire
up until 2 a.m.
Cheap.
I know, but he has to be there while it's been recorded, right? Or it's a completely different story. Right?
And he'd probably have to know a little something about football.
Exactly.
Trust me, this guy knows nothing.
I know. I think that's the only thing that sometimes does like get to me when people do have a go at the pod or something like that, like the editing or like the quality or something like that, because I put in so much work. I'm up until 2-3 o'clock in the morning on a Monday because I've got a 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. I've got to be in work or work from home. So trying to fit all that in plus record doing something, dealing with it all, and then if someone knocks it, then it does get to me a little bit. That's why I do mute people a lot more on a Tuesday, I think, than any other day.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want. I'd love an editor.
I think you put the hours in and weird things can happen. Like you're on the FPL show on the Premier League's website. What, how, 3 years after starting your podcast?
Very bizarre.
That's stupid. Absolutely. It's just bizarre but if you're willing to put the time and effort in, anything can happen, right? So anyone that's thinking about getting into content and podcasting, the format of podcasting and YouTube and streaming and that is not going anywhere. If you are willing to put the hours and the consistency in and put the work in, anything can happen, which I think is confusing. Again, we're back around to one of the original questions, like how do you deal with the attention, all the rest of it. Confused, man, about why.
Am I right in saying, just to jump in, out of the four of us, I'm the only one here who's not an expert?
No, you're the only one who is an expert.
Yeah, you're the only one who is an expert, mate. Trust me. You have expert without the inverted commas.
What's your highest ever ring is 20...
1K. Oh, these two would have been...
Okay,
2.4.
Oh, okay. Nick?
I think I'm only about 21K as well.
All right, okay. So between you guys is 1-0. Between you and me, there's 3-0. 270,000 is the best I've ever got. So
yeah.
Congratulations for being better than me at a guessing game. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, you do get that, though, don't you? I mean, if you want to just go there quickly, you do get people saying, oh, these guys haven't finished top whatever K, why should I listen to you?
Yeah.
And that's
going to
be... That is the number... Exactly. That's what I say. That is the number one annoying question for you. So I'm just like, well, don't. I don't want you to listen to me. Fuck off. I've got no interest in you listening to me if that's the way you approach
it. Why have we not been swearing on this podcast?
It is the minority. I feel like if we're talking about that element of it, I just want to maybe add a bit of balance. It's the minority of people that think
about
that, and the majority don't. And
it annoys me.
And to be honest, it's the engagement from the community that makes everything. Like the highlight of everything is of FPL and the content, and everything's the marathon, right? When I ran in April, over 100 different people, at least 80 of them I've never met before in my life, donating over £1,200. Like, who are you all and why? That's
amazing.
That's the
Thanks
beauty
is
of the
what
community.
He means to say.
Of course, man. And again, confusion. And I think that's kind of why we all do it. It's a love of the community.
Well, I was going to say, just to kind of add to that, Morpheus Fire messaging said, what's the one thing about the pods that makes you want to stop, and what is the one thing that keeps you going?
I think
so is it that kind
that
of
keeps me going.
Yeah, let's do keeps me going. I think we've done. Yeah. There's no point going negative.
Nah, the community.
Yeah,
the community. I suppose there's two things. Being a part of a community is really cool. I find it fascinating, and I feel like it's a bit of an experimentation for us in terms of content and formats, and we're always trying to do new innovative things. And I'm like that. I like it's like, come up with an idea, let's do it. And we always move fast.
We do it.
So, yeah, that's really one of the things that keeps me going is it's something fresh all the time. People ask on the Q&A show we did, what's the pod going to be like in a year or two from now? All I know is it's going to be bigger and badder because we're going to do more and more and more. We're looking at much more YouTube now. I don't think we've still figured out what we're doing on YouTube necessarily yet. There's going to be more, but I like the variety and the innovation, the ability that you come up with an idea, off you go, let's do it. And then the community is a really good, well-spirited, kind-hearted community to be a part of, of all the football communities.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with everything Suj said then. I think in terms of why we do it, it's for the community. If we didn't have the listeners, if we didn't have the backing, we'd have probably given up a long time ago. But, you know, every time we put the pod up, there's so many people that write really nice things. And just to see the appreciation that we get week in, week out makes delivering the content all the more better. And, I mean, we really enjoy doing it, of course, as well. Lots of pleasure in terms of just like chatting away about fantasy, and I love the game, of course, but yeah, I think the primary factor, I think, in terms of continuing it is the community elements, the Twitter chat that we get. It's really good fun, made some really good friends along the way as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the meetups, the shows we've done, and
The live shows,
I mean, that's the best bit of the all is I mean, even for the shows, like the best thing about the last live show we did wasn't the pod, it was the watching the football with everyone, the Norwich Chelsea game and the Liverpool Arsenal game, and have like 30-40 of your friends staying behind and watching the football with you, and that
it was
great. It was really and I say friends because that's what they've become, but at the start of that day I didn't know who these people were. So what you're inclined to do, I think, like with the community and that is, and possibly with feedback mentally, you can tend to focus on like the 5% of the negative. Trust me, we really appreciate the 95% of positive. Right? So.
Talking of live shows and meetups, are you guys planning a Christmas meetup?
So it's the 13th of December. Booked it already.
Happy birthday.
I haven't had the
invite
yet.
That is actually my birthday.
Is it? Yeah. 13th of December.
Yeah. Well, that's
good.
There we go.
Well, you can spend it with your friends.
Joint party.
I'll be there.
I haven't tweeted about it yet, actually. I will tweet it this week.
Here we go. We're dropping the news. Breaking news panels going across the video. Exactly. 13th of December. Social Bar and Grill? Sports Bar and Grill?
Yeah, same place.
As for, you know, a funny thing. One of the big West Ham fans is the rib man who does the holy fucking rib sauces and the barbecue sauces. And he's well known around Upton Park and what have you. He sadly lost his leg, so he's got a metal amputated leg.
Okay.
When he's watching the games, he's constantly banging against the thing. So when you hear a bang, bang,
what,
bang,
leg?
Bang, that's him, doing it. So he's got a real Twitter beef with Sports Bar and Grill at the moment going on, because they've still got his name against the wings on the menu and they're refusing to take it off, even though they're not buying his sauce. There you go, fun and games.
Oh,
the rib man. But yeah, Sports Bar and Grill, Marylebone.
Yeah,
there you go.
So
I think that's a perfect place to wrap up.
Okay. Is that Saturday or Friday?
Friday.
Friday
after
night,
work.
Mate. Friday night, the Christmas kind of meetup. You never know, though. The fixtures might get announced. There might be
that's the gamble,
which will be good. That'll be really nice.
We probably should stay on live show because we keep getting questions on it. The fixtures have not dropped in our favour, essentially.
It's true.
To do it pre-Christmas. We will do something early in January.
Yeah, it'll have
somewhere.
To be 2020, sadly.
We are still exploring the option of trying to do it in Manchester. It's a little bit challenging at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging because Sky won't announce it or Premier League won't announce it. So when they do that, we'll be in touch. This was fun, boys.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for
do it again in a year, Nick.
Well, I think we should probably do it again this year when Nick's actually here in person.
I'll try and actually make it
next
time.
I mean, we've got you.
We've
got you here next to us in multiple ways, but it doesn't meet.
Looks
beat,
like a picture
the real
for
thing.
A picture thing.
I'm just looking at the. I've been looking at the roof the entire time.
True, exactly. But yeah, if you have been tuning in, do hit like, subscribe, share, whatever, with all of the platforms that we're on. We do appreciate it. From James and I, from a Planet FPL point of view, thanks for all of the support and love and what have you. And thanks to Nick and Tom for this joint shared pod as well. Anything you want to add to your loyal fans and listeners?
Well, I think it's fair to say we'll both be back next week in separate pods, but hope to try this in the future. Meantime, hope to assist you. Speak to you soon.
Cue music, man child.
Ciao for now.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the...
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.